Intervju Radija Študent.
Prav lep dober dan, kot kar veste, danes učeno z Zino na Metelkovi ob 10. zvečer nastopi Kevin Martin, a.k.a. The Buck. Skupaj z Razbijem celotno stvar pa bo ogreval DJ G. And here with me in the studio are Kevin Martin and Razb. And I was wondering for the beginning, how's the whole tour of The Buck going on up till now?
It's been variable. The first show started in Zurich, and for some reason Zurich's always shit. Basically, it's funded by the state, so the people that organize the shows don't have to put in as much work promoting it. And for some reason, the atmosphere is dead, and they have very heavy restrictions on volume. And that was a pretty awful way to start, but since then it's got better and better, show by show. Particularly in Milan, where the audience are very passionate and just go crazy to the music. And also for myself, working with Ras Vogel, as far as we're concerned, it's an organic growth in the relationship, the working relationship, and it just feels better and better, show by show.
You started The Buck back in the middle of the 90s with your friends Simon Hopkins, Dave Cochran, Alex Boos, and DJ Vadim. And at the first, I got the feeling that it was more a studio project, but then you switched to your solo project that now you also have live. What was the big difference so that you actually switched to the solo project now?
To be honest, as far as I'm concerned, the first proper Buck release was the Seismic 12-inch. When it was collaborative, it was, you're right, a studio project initially, but that was purely because Skiz from Word Sound in New York approached me to do a dub album, and coincidentally I'd just been managed to get a lot of equipment bought from a major label that Ice had been signed to, and rather than use that equipment and have to learn the engineering skills myself straight away to work on the Ice record, I thought I'd use that as an experiment to learn how to engineer properly. And the first album, Tapping the Conversation for Word Sound, that was really what that was all about, was me just trying to learn how to engineer in the studio. But as a concise, conceptual project, The Buck really started with Seismic, and just me exploiting my love of reggae, dancehall, dub, but on my terms, through my filter of the background I come from, and to make it even more apparent to people how much of a debt I owe to dub music and to reggae.
So how come that you waited 6 years to release a new album? Were you trying to find your own identity?
I think it's various reasons. I don't think there's any one definition as to why it would take so long. I think obviously we were busy with Techno Animal, and to be honest, when I started working on Seismic and Pressure as an album, it was a very poor time of my life, where I was questioning why I'm doing music, questioning if there was an audience for the music, questioning how the hell I could afford to even live in London. And it came out of a very depressed time, which is bizarre, because in years gone by, my first reaction would be to make the most unlistenable noise imaginable and just fuck people up. But this time I went the opposite, and I actually tried to explore the space between the notes and the depth of sound possible, as opposed to just trying to screw people with noise.
How did you meet Skiz Fernando and got involved with the whole Crooklyn Word Sound crew? Because for me, up till now, the Tapping the Conversation was definitely one of the best and the most experimental albums on Word Sound. And besides that, you also collaborated with Skiz Fernando and Dr. Israel and Sensational on various projects.
I think, to be honest with you, it was a guy in a record shop that told me about a very early compilation on Word Sound, and he said he thought I'd like it. And I liked everything about it. I liked the titles, I liked the covert nature, the underground nature of the presentation of the artists. It reminded me very much of On You Sound, of Adrian Sherwood's label. And it turned out that Skiz has been as influenced as I have by that connection. and he modeled Word Sound almost totally on the On You Sound label. And actually, that's where I met Ras Bogle, was via Adrian Sherwood. Basically, Ras Bogle had put vocals down on some tunes for Adrian, and that's where I first heard his voice. And I was blown away by his voice, so that's where that connection came from as well.
How come the first album, Tap in the Conversation, was actually a tribute to the film Conversation by Francis Ford Coppola? Was it because ever-present conspiracy theories that are actually also on your other projects ever-present, for instance, Techno Animal and Ice and stuff like that?
I think it's just... There's probably, again, lots of reasons. I mean, Justin and myself are both very paranoid people, naturally. And, yeah, I think a lot of the themes explored about surveillance, about hidden power structures, about the sense of real lack of choice and pretense of choice and pretense of independence and how to survive when virtually your whole life's mapped out for you, were explored really incredibly well. And I think that also the music was absolutely unbelievable on the actual film score, but you can't get it was never released. So in a way, it was as much as anything, it was a reinterpretation, but also very much a tribute to the film and to draw people's attention to a movie that I thought deserved a lot more attention, really.
In the past, you were working on a project that were more experimental, more aggressive. Well, you still are, but with the Buck, I got the feeling that you're creating a music that it's even more listenable, more hedonistic. And besides that, your previous projects were actually full of very physical layers of sounds. And with this, I got the feeling that you actually went the opposite way, mainly concerning on the rhythm, bass, space, and effects. Would you agree?
Not totally. I think what it is, as far as I'm concerned with the Bug, it should explore both. For me, it was I don't want to become a one-dimensional entity. I think with the Bug, and certainly live, it's much, much heavier than the record. There's tracks on the record that point towards the live show. But generally, I want both extremes. Instead of just the violence, I want the sex and the violence with the Bug. I basically want to put... I want to play with the drama of music. I don't want it just to be an onslaught from start to finish with the Bug, but there are definitely places throughout the set where it is absolutely intense. But I think with Techno Animal, it was a shock discovering... basically, the first tour we did with Techno Animal was in Germany, and we toured with I think it was Alec Empire, Porto Ricks, DJ Rush,
DJ Spooky,
and that really changed our whole interpretation of what playing live could be like. We'd come from rock backgrounds, playing shitholes with bad sound systems to audiences who just want to stare, like Goldfish.
You mean with God Project?
Yeah, with God and Justin with Godflesh. So we discovered audiences out there who were basically getting off on the physicality of sound, who enjoyed dancing, but also enjoyed insanely loud, intense frequencies as well. And it was great to see people react in a very obvious way to the music. And it was the closest I'd seen to what I'd become increasingly obsessed with, which was dub sound systems in London. In sound systems in London, in reggae sound systems, generally, there is no show, there is no stage, there's generally no lighting, there's no applause between songs. People just move and are sucked into it. It's almost spiritual. It's like a church of sound, a church of bass or something. And that had become a massive influence on me. I was getting very bored with stage shows and the whole staged theatricality of seeing a band do the same moves night and night. And I liked the anonymity of dub sound systems and the sheer overwhelming nature of the sound. I mean, if you go to sound systems like Abashanti, Jar Shaka, Iration Steppers, it's like being assaulted with sound. It's like having your whole internal organs rearranged. And I love that impact. I mean, it's literally overwhelming. I mean, you mentioned you went to the Flex Club in Vienna. As far as I'm concerned, that has one of the best sound systems in Europe. And that makes a huge difference for me. But also, a club like that, you have a perfect combination of men and women at shows. In London as well, there's much more of a racial mixture. And I mean, I live in a very, very large Indian community. And a lot of my friends are black. So the idea of playing shows to white men night after night after night is just fucking boring. And I just, it doesn't represent my life. My life involves women, it involves all different cultures. Why the fuck should my music just appeal to one area of person?
Is this that you want to get stuck to one genre? Is this also because you'd want to get limited and evolve forever?
For me, music, it sounds cliched or hackneyed, but music changed my life. Music, I have faith in music. Through music, I find some meaning in life. And therefore, as far as I'm concerned, any limits that are put upon me by an audience, by the media, by even a fan, is just too much. I find it overbearing and claustrophobic.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, everything should be as open as possible. I want my freedom of movement. Why should I be restricted?
When did you get interested in dub and raga and dancehall and reggae? Because I still think that dub, for instance, is very important for the evolution of electronic music as we know it today, and also for the remix culture.
Yeah, I agree totally. For me, it was the music that changed my life, literally, was punk music. It was through listening to bands like Discharge or Crass. And if you were interested in that music at that time, it then led to post-punk music. And I think that punk music was the spark, but post-punk music was really what gave me my direction.
Yeah.
And also, it celebrated culture clash. It celebrated friction.
Yeah.
Bands like Public Image Limited were incredibly influential on me.
Probably.
Yeah, the pop group as well. I mean, I'm supposed to be working with Mark Stewart. Ras Bogle's worked with Mark Stewart. Mark Stewart's using a bug rhythm on his new album.
Mm.
And at that time, I think that basically those groups were obviously totally inspired as well by reggae, by jazz.
Mm.
If you live in a city that's cross-cultural, you're a liar to yourself if you don't admit the influence of what's around you and the environmental sounds. What I love about living in a city is the schizophrenic nature of a city. I love the fact that you've got a million and one impulses and a million and one motivations and impressions being made at the same time. And in any way that can reflect that, so be it, really. And I think when post-punk music was at its height, for me, there was also people like John Peel, who would be on the spur of a moment playing the whole of a Misty and Roots album. And that was revelatory to me.
How come that you are so, let's say, obsessed with different styles of vocals on your last few projects, like with Bad Blood and the Brotherhood of the Bomb and Pressure, and also Mass Destruction from The Curse of the Golden Vampire?
Maybe it's because I just realized what a bad singer I am. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, I've always been drawn towards voice. And I think the involvement in electronic music, it's for me personally, it's even more important to involve voices. I think to filter voices through machinery is a good analogy for how we're all being basically sucked into the technology that surrounds us all and dictates our life now.
How does it differ when you create the music for Bach in the studio and when you play it live? I mean, how do you approach a live concert on a spiritual and also on physical level?
The physicality is incredibly important to me with how we basically approach Bug live shows. For me, it should be an unforgettable experience. If the conditions are right, we pump the room with so much smoke that you wouldn't able to see the person next to you. We have strobes going constantly.
Well, I know that from techno animal shows.
Well, we keep that going with the bug. It's basically just a way of having volume so heavy that you have no choice but just to get lost in the sound. For me, it's to bypass the intellect as much as anything else and just operate on a direct feeling. Impact. It's a love of impact.
When I listen to albums like Bad Blood, The Brotherhood of the Bomb and Pressure, now I actually got the feeling that they actually complete each other, because Bad Blood is like a blueprint for The Brotherhood of the Bomb. And also on Brotherhood of the Bomb, you find, for instance, a track called Piranha with Tosi Taylor that could actually fit to a new Bach album.
Mm. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, we see it as separate projects, Justin and myself, but in a way they're obviously intrinsically linked to each other because we feed off each other's energy.
Yeah.
Justin's like a soul brother to me. I mean, he's the person that most basically reflects all my impulses. Despite the fact that we're so different in many ways, actually, psychologically, I think we're almost identical. And we've never argued in all the years we've worked together, which is insane, really, because we're both very, very strong-willed control freaks. So I'm really shocked at how similar our tastes are, and I think that's probably what you're pointing at. Really, it's probably a true observation. But in my mind, the bug is operating more around the idea of space on record, anyway, and also highlighting voices even more. Because the voices of the people I choose to work with are crucial to me, and I feel very fortunate in the people I've been able to work with and I'm being able to contact at the moment. And the same with working with Ras Bogle. In London, we work with a female MC called Warrior Queen, who for me is an absolute star. I mean, she's like a dancehall Missy Elliott, but no one knows her. And she's been playing shows with us in Britain, whereby playing to electronic crowds who can be nerdy, again, a little bit male, or reflex crowds, just who are ravers, basically. Not used to reggae, particularly, I don't think, and certainly not live ragga MCs. Yeah. And she'll have them under her spell within two sentences. And it's magical to see that happen. And it actually feels more like a team now with me, with Ras Bogle and Warrior Queen. My problem with Warrior Queen is she has a major immigration problems, and she can't get out of the country, basically. But yeah, the vocals and the fact, I think, as well, that with the Bug album, with Bad Blood, basically, we'd managed to con the record label into buying us a dub sound system, basically trying to build a dub sound system. We told them that it was never going to be a live project, that we wanted it to tour clubs, but with a very intense sound system. But unfortunately, it's not finished. And at the same time as it not being finished, it still needs a bit more money to finish it off. No. I realized that a lot of the music that we'd been making with Ice on Bad Blood, and maybe even with Techno Animal, was too noisy. No. It would just sound flat on that system. And to basically play to the strengths of that system is to operate with more space and more bass, and to go for the very physical angle. And that's what I try to do with Pressure, really.
How do you create music with the Bug? Do you first make the music and then choose the MCs that for instance, feed the certain atmosphere of the song?
Both. Primarily at the beginning, yeah, it was like that. But increasingly, when I know of a vocalist I'm going to work with, I'll cater a track towards them. Even if I haven't heard their lyrics, like Roger Robinson, the poet on the album. I know Roger personally, he's a good friend of mine, and I know his strengths and weaknesses, and it was a way of, okay, I'm going to compose with him in mind. Yeah. And now working with Ras Bogle as well, for me it's the same situation. I'm starting with each show, each recording session we do together, I'm starting to understand how Ras Bogle will use his voice. And then that'll make me work around and hopefully to complement their strengths, really.
How come that some of your projects, like for instance with Ice and Bad Blood, are actually mainly studio projects? Because you can't make live shows, or?
Ice was never meant to be a live group, really. I mean, it was an experiment, and we thought it was a good way of basically extorting a large amount of money out of a major label. The Bug is, as far as I'm concerned, and increasingly a live entity. I'm loving the energy of the shows. I'm loving the impact and the reception we've been getting from audiences. It's been very, very mind-blowing, to be honest. It's went much better than I would have begun to think of. It started as an album, and has just, it's been like seeing a chain reaction when suddenly you have people like Aphex Twin, Adrian Sherwood, Jerry Dammers from The Specials, Mark Stewart. If you have people like this suddenly calling you up saying, hey, I really like your records, or you hear from someone else that they're playing your records, it's an incredibly supportive thing to hear. Because like I said, when I started the record, I was at the lowest point I'd ever been. It was the only point I've ever questioned whether or not I should be making music.
Yeah, you said that you actually went through personal hell, practically, musically and emotionally. Can you say something more about that? Because I heard that you had big problems with the label who hated the record.
Yeah, with the Ice record, you mean?
Yeah.
I worked on that record for maybe 3 years. And the way it started and how it ended, it almost became a totally different record.
Yeah.
And they only heard the label only heard the bare bones, which was like a sort of rock trip hop, Massive Attack tricky style of record, I suppose. But I got really bored with that really quickly. It sounded too coffee table with me. And I wanted it to basically mirror the chaos that was going on in my head at the time, and to have like voices fighting off each other, not complimenting each other, and playing playing up the friction of having such disparate voices on the record. And at the time, life in London is just to survive in London is a major struggle. Yeah. To survive from music in London is amplifying that struggle all the more. Unless you want to be making compromises, and yeah. I hate making compromises.
Well, I think that you never did any compromises.
Yeah. No,
but you probably can't survive with the music that you're making. Like you said, now you probably have a lot of different preoccupations.
Well, to be honest, it's literally a day-by-day, week-by-week scenario. Who knows how long I'll able to carry on surviving with it. But that's part of the... I guess that's part of the obsession with it. It's that insecurity or that... I guess it is. It's just that not knowing that keeps it interesting, really.
How come that you release so much material on different labels?
Because most of it doesn't sell very well. I'm not sure. Reflex have been incredibly supportive with The Bug. And I don't know if you know, but Reflex released The Bug album.
And Tiger Beat in America.
Yeah. And Reflex will be doing the Razor X compilation at the beginning of next year, and they've already made me an offer for the following Bug album. To be honest with you, I think primarily it's finding people who are genuinely behind the music and not just seeing it as another commodity. And the genuine people, you could always record more records with, but the problem is you have that classic imbalance between people who are making the music for the right reasons and releasing music for the right reasons, and those people who just want to sell it. The people who want to sell it, my music will never be commercial enough. The people that love it for the right reasons can't really consistently give me the money I need to survive. So it's a real juggling act. It's like a balancing act.
Is this also the reason why you started your own record labels, like for instance Razor X, that you started with Rootsman, and you also have Avalanche Recordings, I think, with Justin Broderick, and you also had Pathological Records years back. What happened with that?
I was a really shit businessman. I lost a lot of friends over Pathological. I was really naive. I never saw any money. It was paid for by the distributor. Everything was paid for. So as a young kid, I was basically like, well, great, then we're going to have three different types of artwork on every format. We're going to have full color artwork. We'll release on cassette, CD, vinyl. Because I wanted everyone in the world to hear any music I could get released. And what I didn't realize was, of course, very stupidly, there'd be a very, very large bill to pay at the end of this. And I remember at one point, absolutely imploding when I suddenly had a bill for £22,000 or something, and just thinking, well, where the hell does that come from? How did that happen? And what happened was I'd asked the distributor if they could pay each product, account for each product individually, and they'd agreed to verbally, but they didn't do it. So in the end, it was one big label debt. So people that would have made money from the record couldn't get paid because I didn't have any money, and the distributor refused because I had a big debt. So it was just a nightmare. It was a complete nightmare. But with Razor X, it's a very small operation. It's 7-inch singles. And we are just about to start a Techno Animal label as well. Ideally, for your releasing your own music, I think it's perfect to set up your own label now, and it gets better all the time via the net. Cutting out the middlemen, cutting out the leeches, for me is the best possible scenario. But it's just how many minutes are in the day, and it's how much time you have to literally organize all these things.
You also compile a lot of compilations like Collision Course and Macro Dub Infection. How did you start with this? Because I got the feeling that you're trying to spread the virus to a more wider audience who mainly wouldn't discover this music, for instance.
Yeah, that's always been the aim. I mean, this is why I've had a real love-hate relationship with avant-garde musicians, with elitists, with purists, because none of that interests me. As far as I'm concerned, there's 95% of all music shit. There's a 5% that's hardcore in every area, and that can be Patsy Cline, it can be John Coltrane, it can be Prince Farai, whatever. And as far as I'm concerned, again, if anyone tries to limit where they want their music to go, I find that nauseating. I don't understand that way of thinking. I make music for as many people as I can to possibly listen to. I'd rather play to 10,000 people than 50 people. But it's all about the reaction and the energy that you get back from the music. If there's 50 people that go nuts, that's better than 10,000 people who look bored. But as far as I'm concerned, it's just to have an extreme reaction. If there's any form of extremity in the reaction to the music, that's perfect. Love, hate, that's all that matters to me. What I hate is the idea of someone saying, yeah, it was okay, it was a nice show, it was okay. It's like the little show we saw last week. For me, that's nullifying. I mean, the whole point of music for me is to make me feel alive, not to make me feel like passive. Everything in life makes you feel passive or bored. So I think a show is a really important thing.
You also remix a lot. You remix artists like Dialect, Sensational, Will Oldham. How do you approach a remix and how do you pick the artists that you will remix?
They pick me mostly. If I had a choice who I could pick, there'd be millions. But yeah, it's just approaches. You're given approaches for things. I mean, the latest remixes I've done have been of Tram Shmira for Novamute, which again, Ras Bogle MC'd on, and a group called Graffiti, who has something to do with the streets, which again, Ras Bogle vocalized on. And I'm trying to think, there was another remix recently. Shit, I can't remember what the other remix was.
You said before that you were on a lot of influence when you started, when you were growing up, from hardcore punk and post-punk. And also, for instance, Justin Broderick started his career, I think, on the first LP of Napalm Death, where he played guitar. And what I'm pointing at is that when I was listening to, for instance, the new album from Curse of the Golden Vampire, I actually got the same emotions as when I first listened to Napalm Death or Extreme Noise Terror. Was this actually, let's say, a tribute to those revolutionary early days, to your roots in some new way?
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. We laughingly said this record will get back to our roots. And also, we wanted that same sense of excitement and energy that we got from those records ourselves. And we wanted to make the most extreme record we'd ever made. Oh. And we feel it is the most extreme
and you succeeded.
Record.
Yeah. besides that, you formed The Curse of the Golden Vampire with Elk Empire. How come that you don't collaborate anymore? What happened? Because
we felt we moved apart. We felt that we haven't got that much in common with Alec anymore.
Is there a new Techno Animal album coming out soon?
No, we've been recording new tracks. And like I said, we're going to basically start a 12-inch label and then put all the tracks onto an album. We're already talking about which MCs to work with. We want to work with Sebastian from New Kingdom and Truck Stop again.
We worked with him on the Ice Record.
Yeah, we want to work with Roger again, but also we want to work with Silver Bullet and maybe some more British hip hop MCs.
What are some other projects for the future that you didn't mention?
There's a new thing we're doing, which is like Techno Animal Denoised, which is called Subspecies, which is all basically absolutely aimed fully for the dance floor, but with humongous bass lines and. Yeah, for us, it's just another test of if it's possible to do it without compromise and something that just spurs us on. Apart from that, there's talk of a collaboration with Mark Stewart and Techno Animal. Yeah. We'll give that a new name. I'm meant to be writing some tracks for Roger Robinson's album. I can't remember anything else, sorry, I'm a bit phased.
Thank you for this conversation and the best words.
Thank you very much.
We invite everybody, of course, to the show tonight?
That's perfect.
Torej, kot ste slišali, zdaj smo se pogovarjali s Kevinom Martinom, danes pa v Channel Zero ob 10. zvečer nastopijo The Bug skupaj z Raz Bijam in uvajal pa bo celo zadevo DJ Ž. Lepo se imejte, čau.
Face to face with wooden guns and iron will, he's whistling, giving the breeze a tune. Denizen of the night, every sense alert as the air is thick with mist, making figures into ghosts. Depression ain't worse than hard time, but he needs money. Bullets explode with white fury and the full moon looks like a tunnel, a way to escape. Lying on his back, confronted by the city's face, he wishes he could see his son again. And in the last hours, before the faded ray of daylight, a baseline is sobbing under a fat face, acneed moon. No!
Интервью «Радио Студент».